One of my favorite things about hosting Coast is I get to pick the bumper music. That's right. But you know what? Here in the dark, we're all dancing right now. You should see Dan. He can dance pretty good. All right, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Check out Beyond Belief, where you can join Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie for dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things unexplained. You can see the world through new eyes. You get new episodes weekly. Get unlimited access to Beyond Belief and watch anywhere on your computer, iPhone, iPad, whatever. No commercials, no sponsors. Enjoy Beyond Belief ad-free. Just go to beyondbelief.com right now. You can do it at Coast to Coast. All right, our guest tonight is Corey Good. When I come back after this break, I want to know the latest piece of information that he was told to share with us. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with Corey right after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight on this Friday. We're going to have open lines. Phones are jammed. We're going to get to those in just a bit. But you can follow me on Twitter right now. Do it at J Church Radio. It's very simple. Make it good, and I'll read your stuff on the air at J Church Radio, because our guest tonight is Corey Good. And Corey, Slim just tweeted out, he wants to know, he says, isn't the ET agenda really Luciferian in nature? It's here to deceive us. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, it depends on which ETs you're talking about and which agenda. There is definitely a narrative coming from some of these non-terrestrials that is very, what we would call Luciferian, for sure. There's some very dark aspects to this, but there's some very light aspects to this as well. We have beings out there that do not come in and physically take part in the change that's occurring in our solar system, but are assisting us in indirect ways. And those are the beings that are wanting us to get up off of our knees, quit looking up at the sky for someone to come and save us, and to do the work ourselves, that, you know, we're the beings, we're the saviors that we've been waiting for, that, you know, we need to do the inner work, and then we need to start working together as a society to fix all of this craziness that has been set in place by some of these non-terrestrial negative groups that have been interacting with us for thousands of years.
Well, when it comes to disclosure and those out there that want something to happen out of Washington, they want a grand announcement, they want it done for us. Are you suggesting that we need to push it on our sides, that we shouldn't sit here and wait for a savior to come along and save us all, that it's more up to us?
All we're going to get from the government is more of this divide and conquer type of activity that they've been doing. You know, just imagine all of these people that are up in arms and out protesting against, you know, the current president and certain ideologies.
Right.
What if all of these people, what if both sides started to focus on demanding the truth, demanding the release of technologies that will lengthen our lives, that will improve our quality of life, will stop destroying the planet? If we start demanding that from the power structure,
right,
it's over. So that's what they've been trying to keep us from doing for some time, and so far it's worked.
What's the latest message? When was the last time you were given something to relay back to us? What's the latest?
Well, most of it has, most recently has been of a fairly personal nature, trying to get me to do the inner work that I need to do. I have quite a bit to do myself. But the latest is they've been having me do more and more briefings to very well-known people here on the Earth in the control structure. I've done about 28 briefings so far, and out of those 28 briefings, I had 12 people get up and walk out of the room shaking their heads saying they could not accept what I was saying.
Briefings with who, Corey?
I can't give names, but, some people such as well-known physicists in the space industry, the military-industrial complex industry. One of them was actually a former shuttle astronaut. So they're very earthly type people. that they've been wanting me to get these briefings to. So I've been giving the briefings, but so far, very few people are willing to listen to the information I've been delivering, because they've been told that they're at the top of the totem pole when it comes to intelligence, that they have a need to know, and they know all that there is to know about the subject. If I come in and talk about a different secret space program operation that's going on that they haven't been briefed on, they are programmed to not accept what I'm saying, because they've been programmed to believe they are at the top of the totem pole.
Is there anybody from the current administration or agencies out of Washington that are attending these briefings?
People that are connected to them down the chain, yes.
How so?
I really can't get into it right now. There's been a pause in the briefings to see if I need to change my approach, or if the information is having the intended, response in the people. So far, they've had sort of a negative response, but a lot of people, when they first receive information like that, they respond negatively and then think about it over time, and it sort of changes the way they think.
Who is telling you what to say? That's very interesting that you would have, how would I say, you've been commented upon, right? Your approach, and you're receiving some direction. That's interesting. Is that coming from here? Is that coming from a terrestrial? Is that coming from humans? Or are you suggesting that that is coming from the Blue Avians or something off planet that is telling you to change your approach?
Well, these are humans, a part of the military industrial complex secret space programs here that are arranging these briefings. The pause in the briefings has occurred because of the response from the people I've briefed so far. And the briefings that I'm giving are exactly the same type of briefing packets or information that I've given on cosmic disclosure over the last 2 years.
Right.
So it's, you know, the exact same information. And a lot of them, you know, they're hearing information that they're privy to about Antarctica and about these lower secret space programs. And then I have this other information that doesn't quite fit into their reality bubble. So it's disconcerting in the middle of talking to 3 to 5 people when someone gets up and throws their arms up saying, I can't accept this, and walks out.
Well, exactly. And that's my question. When somebody in this last instance, or somebody got up and walked out, I don't care who it was, but what was it that you were saying that would cause them to do that?
Well, a lot of these people, they've been briefed on anywhere from 3, 4 to 60 different non-terrestrials that are interacting with us. None of those people have been briefed about an 8-foot-tall blue bird type being.
Right.
And to be honest, when I was first approached by these beings, I was a little concerned too, because all of my time in these programs, I never heard of an 8-foot-tall blue bird being.
Right.
So a lot of them, just right off the bat, when they hear that, they're not willing to hear too much more. Because they think that they've had the full briefings, they know what's out there, and any of this new information, you know, it's dubious to them. And, you know, in the beginning, I was told by Tier Air, one of the Blue Avians, that I needed to go out and share this information. And immediately I said, no one's going to believe me. And he stated that it's not important whether or not they believe me. But it is important that the seed gets planted into the mass consciousness.
Very interesting. And I've got to tell you, Corey, the phones are completely jammed. We haven't even announced phones yet or open lines. But I've got to clear some of these calls have been here for quite a while. So let's go ahead and do this. Let's take a couple of calls. You ready?
Yeah, sure. I did want to talk real quick about what I've got going on this year.
Oh, we're going to do all of that after the break. Oh, we'll get everything in. Don't even worry about it, Corey. We'll get to it. I just don't want this to get too out of control. I'm trying to rope it back in. Let's go to Thomas right here on the West Coast in La Jolla. Thomas, welcome to Coast. What have you got for Corey?
Hi, Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for taking my call. And yes, I do dance to your bumper music.
Right on.
Corey, I'm fascinated with your revelations along with David Wilcock. I can't help but think, Corey, that besides the technology, extraterrestrial hardware, extraterrestrial secret space program, etc., I can't help but think that there's another technology, and that's the technology of bioengineering, genetic engineering. Is there, to use an Old Testament metaphor, a extraterrestrial tree of life technology that is available to the shadow governments, the planetary elites, a extraterrestrial technology of bioengineered rejuvenation, regeneration, perhaps even like the tree of life of biological immortality that is being offered to the planetary elites by extraterrestrial factions? What do you know about the extraterrestrial bioengineered biotechnology?
Thank you for the phone call, Thomas. Corey?
Well, a lot of people are so enamored about the non-terrestrials and their technologies. If we get full disclosure, a lot of people would be shocked to find out that we've been in trade with over 900 civilizations, and many of those civilizations come here for our technology. We've developed technology so far beyond what is on the Earth in our breakaway civilization that other non-terrestrials, when they're in our solar system, they come to barter for that technology. Now, what's even more interesting is that what do these non-terrestrials barter with? One of the biggest things that we want the most, the human government, is we want biologicals from other solar systems.
Such as? What are you suggesting here? It sounds dark.
Well, you know, sometimes it'll be something like a little petri dish. Sometimes it'll be like a cadaver arm or a tail off of some species of animal from another solar system. And they'll bring that to us, and we are all over it on breaking down the genetics, the taxonomy, and figuring out everything there is to figure out about this being, how we can weaponize it, and how we can use it to extend life or any other number of things.
Well, wouldn't the same thing apply to humans then being traded outside of the solar system? It would be the same thing, right? Are you suggesting that our cadavers or we are traded as meat as well? I don't want to sound too morose here, but it would have to be the same on both sides.
There's an intergalactic human slave trade that close to a million human beings a year become a part of. And there's the dark part of like people being used as food, but they're also used as slaves. We are very good engineers. We have very good dexterity with our fingers, and we're very creative. So as a slave race, we're coveted. We're also coveted for our genetic material, because we've been a part of this huge genetic experiment on Earth. Over 22 different genetic programs that have been going on since we were created. And we have so many different non-earthly genetics and genome that have been spliced into ours that our genome now kind of reaches out to other genome, and it's very easy to splice. Going back to what this person asked, yes, there are very extensive life extension technologies out there that are available. Now, do they give it to us? Do they give it to the people we think of as the elite? No, they keep it back for the true elite. Most of the people that we think of as elite are not really the elite. The true power brokers in these syndicates are unknown to just about everybody in the public eye.
Wait. I had to hit the cough button there for a second. You got me all shook up there, Corey. What about this? How old are you? And the reason why I ask is because of the time that you spend in my lab, right? I'm trying to figure out if we should add or subtract that from your age. I mean, are you 105 right now? Right? Well, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I just celebrated my 47th birthday. But on top of that, during the service in the secret space program, I was a part of what they call 20 and back. And they would take you out of this timeline. You serve 20 years. And then they age regress you and time regress you and put you back within a few minutes of when they take you out of out for service.
So your brain, okay, so your brain is 20, you have 20 years more experience.
Right.
Life's experience. So you're technically almost 70 years old in a 40-year-old's body. Am I making, right? Right?
Yeah, that's I guess that's as close as we'll be able to get in comparisons. But
sure. Yeah. And yeah, and
I have definitely, I have 20 more years of experiences to integrate than my physical age would tell.
You know, it sounds like, and I know the audience is hearing what I'm hearing, it almost sounds like the phones are being interfered with. Very interesting. I'm watching Dan. Every time it happens, he looks at me, and it sounds very alien-ish, kind of a weird interference, and I'm enjoying it, and I hope that it is actually happening. Okay, so let me ask.
I'm not hearing it.
Oh, yeah, we've only got it on our end. It's pretty cool, actually. I can't wait to listen back to this later. So with that 20 years, for you to come back as a young mind with these life's experiences now, but you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
Were you speaking adult? Did you remember everything that happened to you off world? And were you walking around mature, but in a single digit body?
Yeah, I was very mature, much more about 20 years ahead of most 17, 18 year olds. I had quite a bit of trauma to deal with as well. So, you know, I was suffering symptoms of PTSD. Had all of these memories come rushing back. The blank slating or mind wiping process works for the most part, but 3-5% of people that go through the process, all the memories come rushing back.
Right.
So, and I happen to be one of the 3-5% that they can't effectively blank slate.
Did you see, we've got to take a break in about 30 seconds, but did you see any psychiatrist or any professional help? Did anybody question about your mental position at that time?
No, I mean, it was obvious that I had trauma and like PTSD, even if they didn't call it that back then.
Right.
But I wasn't telling anybody about the experiences. And I mean, it was only recently after, I mean, I've been married 24 years. It was only in the last 3 years that I even told my wife.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a break right here. Our guest tonight is Corey Good. Now, when we come back, he's working on a graphic novel. There's some other feature stuff that is being worked on, and I've seen some of it. We're going to talk about that right after the break. Our guest tonight is Corey Good. This is Coast to Coast AM. Man, I got to tell you, if there was ever a question if the Rolling Stones could do the rock and roll, it's answered right there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. George is actually going to be right here in Southern California May 6th, right? This summer, at the Plaza del Sol Performance Hall, right here at California State University Northridge in Northridge, California. His guests are, include Bruce Goldberg, right? Frequent guest here on Coast to Coast. One of our favorite friends, Danian Brinkley, right here in Southern California, coming in from Las Vegas, I'm sure. And, of course, Whitley Strieber. All right, and there's going to be a meet and greet after the show. And, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there because I'm going to be here working. But that's the way it goes. Everybody else gets to have all the fun, right? You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. That's what you want to do. Twitter is live to my left. Got a question right here from Dion. I'm going to hit Corey with next. And when we come back with Corey, he's got some animation stuff that he's working on. He's got a graphic novel he's working on. I've seen it. It's amazing. Where did the idea come from? What's the information to be presented? All of that next with Corey Good. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Corey Good. Now, Corey, I just mentioned during the break that I had this tweet here from Dion, and it's an interesting question. It says, Corey, do you think video games and gaming itself can help people raise their consciousness and vibrational level? Very interesting question. What do you think about that?
That is a very interesting question. It depends on the, I guess, video games you're playing. If you're playing first-person shooter games to where you're, you know, killing and all, it's all destruction, that's not going to raise your vibration. As a part of this graphic novel and movie process, we're also creating a interactive video game that is going to have high vibration type of information in there, you know, for people to be able to assimilate. So we're trying to create a video game that will help people grow their consciousness or expand their consciousness who are into video games.
Now, tell us about the graphic novel and what the idea is behind it. The artwork is incredible. I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen a good chunk of it. The artwork is amazing. The story is there. Where did the idea come from, and what is it that you're trying to convey with this?
Well, the idea, I guess, came from, it was a combination of my web admin, Cam, had mentioned it, and I guess he had planted a seed. But when I was speaking with Tier Air, he had told me that the work that I've been doing with David Wilcock on Cosmic Disclosure was great, but we're basically preaching to the choir that we need to get this message outside of this genre. And the genres who are most primed intellectually for this information are the ones that cross over this one. You know, the video game people, graphic novel, sci-fi type people, their consciousness is primed for this information. So what we're doing is we're disseminating this information in a graphic novel and also an animated movie as a way to get the Blue Avian message of, you know, forgiving yourself, working through your karma, changing the world one person at a time through this type of medium.
Where can, do you have any of this online right now? Can anybody go and look at some of these illustrations?
Absolutely, yes. A lot of them are starting to roll out now, but if anyone wants to follow this project, it's at Comic Disclosure, as in graphic novel, comic books.
Right.
ComicDisclosure.com. Not to be confused with CosmicDisclosure.com, which is a Gaia website for Cosmic Disclosure.
Sure, sure. Now, when I look at these illustrations, what everybody's going to ask is this question. I just have to do it. How close, how accurate is, say, the White Draco or the Golden Head or any of these representations and the Blue Avians? How accurate are these? Some of them are frightening. They're not easy to look at, but the artwork itself is incredible. So how accurate is it?
Some of it's more accurate than others. Some of it, you know, a little creative license is taken. But we have over 18 people working on this project, a good half dozen artists that are, I mean, I hardly have to give them any information. They're able to psychically pull these this imagery, you know, out of the field as I'm describing it to them. And I've been really shocked at how good they are at depicting what I'm trying to get across.
Now, okay, what is the story? Let's go with the graphic novel. What is the story that is being presented here? Because you have thousands of experiences that could be in this. You can't do it all. So what is being done with this project?
Right. I mean, anyone that has watched the last seven seasons of Cosmic Disclosure, if you're not familiar, you can go to blueavians.com and watch it for free. We'll see that there is a huge body of information that I have to deliver.
Right.
And this graphic novel is going to be a summary of all the information, and then we're going to go into other graphic novels that are going to break down each of these different domains that I've had experiences in. You know, everything from some of the stuff I've described in the Secret Space Program to, you know, contact with these different non-terrestrial beings and
what information they're trying to impart to us.
Let me ask you this. With a graphic novel or an animation feature or a video game for that matter, you have creative license to say anything that you need to say. But is there something here that you're not saying? Are you holding back on any information, or are you just letting it all hang out?
I'm having to hold back on quite a bit of information.
Why?
Well, just for operational security. There are some bits of information that I'm going to put in the graphic novels, like some of the stuff that I was warned not to put out, like how do some of these different torsion field engines work, what does it look like inside of the engine room. There's going to be some of that stuff that I'm going to be putting inside this graphic novel. Now, there's plenty of other stuff that I can't talk about because there are still operations underway, or the information could if I release the information too soon, it could interfere with future operations.
All right, let me get through some more phone calls. Let's take some more. Can I get you to hang on for another segment too as well?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, Corey. You know, I'm going to twist your arm, brother. Okay, let's do it. Let's go to Larry in Cuba, Missouri. Larry, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, sir. The information I'm about to disclose, I cannot disclose a lot of it due to the fact that I was in the military at the time of the incident. Me and my unit were called to Central America a couple of years ago to pull guard duty on an LZ. At the LZ, I saw a very similar cylinder and scroll as your guest described fall out of a rucksack. I don't know why we were guarding this particular LZ. All I know is we were told to be there. And the symbols on it were very strange, and it kind of confused me and kind of scared the crap out of me.
How big were they, Larry?
They were approximately 3 feet in size.
3 feet in width?
Yes. And they were going to fit in the standard rucksack.
And what were they made out of?
It looked like some sort of metallic material, as best I can describe it, like a Mylar, almost Mylar.
Interesting. And did you touch them?
No. Whenever I went to pick it up, the scientist that was there told me to get back.
Okay. I got you, Larry. Very interesting, Corey. Before I ask you if it sounds similar, let me throw it back to Larry. Larry, did you have a question for Corey?
Yes. I was wondering if he has any information on what we were doing there, because I was told nothing. All I was told to was board a plane.
What country?
Panama.
It was in Panama. What part of Panama?
It was north of the canal. That's all I can tell you.
North of the canal. Well, I lived in Panama for 4 years, so I'm just trying to get the lay of the land. So north of the canal. Well, you mean west of the canal?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I've been working all night.
That's okay. So north of the canal will be the Gulf of Mexico. So you mean west of the canal or east of the canal? West of the canal towards Costa Rica?
Yes.
I got you. Okay, Corey, any information about an LZ in Panama?
Well, those types of things happen all the time. I would have a few questions for him about the condition of the object. Did it look like it had just been set there, or did it look like it had entered the atmosphere? Were there any abrasions on it, any dents?
It looks as though it had a little bit of scoring to it, as though it had been burned.
Burned. Okay.
Most likely this was device or a piece of a device that was a part of one of our secret space programs that somehow became dislodged or ended up in that location, and then they sent out sort of like a pounce group, a group that goes and sets up a perimeter, guards the LZ when the scientists and engineers come to recover whatever material was lost. That would be my guess. That's the most likely scenario.
All right, Larry. Listen, Larry, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Give Gina your email address, and I'll get some questions out there to you, okay? So just hang on, and I'll have Gina get your information. All right?
Yeah, if she sends me an email, I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Larry, stay right there. Let's go to, let's come out west. Let's go to Christian in San Pedro, California. Christian, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? I guess I had two questions for the guest. One is, the guest read the following books. Has he read Eric Von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods, and also Graham Hancock's two books, Fingerprints of the Gods and Magicians of the Gods? And were those two authors, were they pretty much hitting the nail on the head when it comes to this planet being visited long ago? You know, it's like the ancient Egyptians, for example. It's like when you look at the Sphinx and the pyramids, they're so old. Were they built by, let's say, the survivors of a catastrophe, as Graham Hancock has suggested? And my second question is that, has our current president, Donald Trump, we've heard that every president is, when they're given, you know, when they become president, they're given essentially the debriefing by a representative of the National Security Agency on UFO disclosure. In other words, they're basically brought into the picture and told what's been going on. So those are my two questions. Is Eric Van Däniken and Graham Hancock, with their writings, did they hit the nail squarely on the head? And also, has Donald Trump been essentially been brought up into, you know, the UFO disclosure? And you guys have a good night, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Christian. Two great questions. So, Corey, first, did you read any Graham Hancock or EVD?
I have not read those two books. I did read one of the books that Zachariah Sitchin put out. I can't remember which one.
The 12th Planet or something.
Yeah, I think it was that one. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Good book, too, by the way. Okay, so
long time ago.
For all of us. What about Trump? Has he been brought up to speed?
Now, that's kind of a sticky situation there, because there is almost an open civil war going on in the intelligence community. It's very bizarre. Now, some of these intelligence community leaders do not want to give Trump the full briefing, because they think that he will just go and Twitter it out.
He would, no doubt.
He most likely would. Now, yes. What I have been informed, and that I hadn't released up until now, is that Trump did send a memo. He knows about all this stuff already. He's big, big into conspiracy theory. I've been told that he's even watched Cosmic Disclosure.
I bet he has. I don't doubt it. I really don't. I don't.
Yeah. So what I've been told is that he put out a memo to declassify, and I can't remember the exact number, it was well over 1,000 patents that have been classified for, by like Homeland Security, that kind of stuff. And that these patents have to do with free energy, life extension, health type of breakthroughs that have been hidden.
Right.
And he them to begin preparing to disseminate this information or release it. And the DOD pushed back and said, okay, we can do that, but it will take 10 years for us to get prepped. And he replied back, no, start working on it now. That also caused a lot of, waves in the intelligence community. About half of them want this information to come out, and
right.
The other half do not. And there's a huge battle.
Well, you know, I'm halfway expecting a black SUV to follow me home tonight, and I thank you for that. Let's go to Jeff in Culver City. Jeff, you're up next on Coast.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy and Mr. Good. Yeah, 1976, that's when I was a young child, and I always thought and believed that children, myself included, were entangled unwittingly with programs like these. But Mr. Good, the adventures you described in Antarctica partially explains whatever genetically engineering clone projects that was going on down there. And I've noticed that there are people that really look very, very different than the people I grew up with here in L.A. You know, and I always cite that film They Live by John Carpenter. Feels like these people were hidden somewhere, like in underground caves or underground in an ocean. Several years ago, I had a haunting and terrifying dream where I was deep under some type of ocean filled with dark caves, yet light came in from some place, you know, and I seen a group of people, extremely pale in appearance, about 15 or 20 of them, all huddled together on a ledge. Then out of nowhere, a gigantic salamander swirls upwards out of the water and takes a big mouthful of these people, you know, about 8 of them, and eat them or whatever, and disappear. seemed like the people were confused and bewildered about what was going on or happening to them, similar to how I see a lot of the people wandering around Los Angeles now in 2017. They seem lost and confused and out of place. And it seems that someone or some group of entities are trying to train them, school them, re-educate them, remind them of something similar to those signs in that movie They Live. A question this, Mr. Good, do you believe that if there are genetic engineered clones amongst us, which have been, you know, developed and harvested, that they've been purposely placed in urban areas as part of a continuing experiment or an extension of programs within that Antarctica program? And I'll take the answer up there.
Thank you, Jeff. And just to let you know They Live, Roddy Piper. That's a documentary. You know this, right?
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, thank you for the phone call. What do you think about that? Corey.
Well, I've received quite a bit of information about the cloning projects. They have a huge cloning project down in actual Mexico, what they call the Zone of Silence. The U.S. had a biological warfare type base underground there, and then that's where they first moved a lot of their genetic programming operations. So, yeah, that's been going on for quite a while. Now, I have not been briefed on people being replaced by clones in cities. That's just not something I've heard. That doesn't mean it's not going on, because there's all kinds of crazy projects going on, an absurd amount of crazy projects going on against civilians.
Right. Well, let me jump in real quick, Corey. We got to take a break right here, but I'm going to ask you to hang on for a segment, take some more phone calls. The phones are completely jammed, so thank you for doing that for us. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Corey Good and your phone calls right after this. Stay with us.